The Year of Billy Miller, Part 3, Sister, Chapter 4. Sal's nightlight was so bright that the yellow walls in her room glowed like the inside of a jack-o'-lantern and had an instant calming effect on Billy. The only visible part of Sal, among her pillows, the drop sisters, and her messy blankets, was her snarl of dark curls. But it was a familiar snarl, and Billy's heart slowed down. His breathing steadied. Billy sat on the bed and bounced. The dark snarl moved a little. Billy knew his question was the dumbest in the world, but he asked it anyway. "Are you sleeping?" The snarl moved again. Billy bounced harder, and then Sal's head emerged from the shadowy lumps and bumps of bedclothes and stuffed animals like a chick from an egg. She looked at him with uncertain eyes. "Slits, really." Billy scooched nearer to Sal. He didn't know what to say. He couldn't say, "I need you," which was the truth. "Hi," he whispered. Sal's eyes closed, and her head drooped. Billy shook her. It was strange, but already he felt less afraid. How could a 3-year-old make him feel safe, especially one who was mostly asleep? Although part of him knew there was no monster under his bed, he did not want to go back to his room. He wanted to stay here. Billy shook Sal again and blew at her eyes. When she opened them, he blew again. He'd been holding the pearl the whole time, and now he raised it up to Sal's face, inches away from her nose. "Sal, look," he said, "it's the magic pearl. And I'll give it to you if..." Sal perked up. Her eyes widened. "You will?" She reached greedily for the pearl. "If," said Billy, pulling the pearl back a bit. "If what?" Billy's brain had clicked back to his plan to stay up all night. He could not do it alone in his room, but he thought he could do it in Sal's room. With her. He'd never shared anything this big with a girl before. But it would be worth it. "If you can stay up with me all night, it's yours," said Billy. "Why?" asked Sal. Billy explained the importance of his idea. He finished by reminding her, "We've never even made it to midnight on New Year's Eve." He kept holding the pearl as if it were a priceless gem, turning it between his fingers, hypnotizing her with it. "Can I have it now?" she asked. "You can borrow it," said Billy, "but you can't have it until morning." "How long is it till morning?" asked Sal. It was a good question. "I'll find out," said Billy. He went to check the digital clock in the bathroom. He was relieved that he didn't have to pass his room to get there. Still, he was cautious and quick. The red numbers on the clock were clear and bright. 10:32. "We've got a long way to go," he thought, feeling some of his optimism drain away. Back in Sal's room, he crammed her throw rug under the door and flipped on her overhead light. They both blinked, adjusting to the change. "Now it'll be easier to stay awake," he told her. Sal was fingering the pearl with loving care. "How long till tomorrow?" she asked again. "A long time," said Billy. "But we can do it. It's only an hour and a half until midnight." "What are we going to do?" asked Sal. "What do you want to do?" "We could play with the drop sisters," said Sal. "Will that keep you awake more than anything else?" asked Billy. He was willing to do whatever it took to achieve his goal. Sal nodded. "Okay," said Billy. "How do we play with them?" "You tell them a story. You tell a story about them. And you move them around, like this." Sal slid off her bed, pulling the drop sisters with her. She placed them in a circle on the floor. She picked up Raindrop and swooped her back and forth through the air. One day, Raindrop flew. "I'm a bird, I'm a bird." "Shh," Billy murmured. "Your turn," said Sal. Billy chose one of the drop sisters. He didn't think he could do this. He felt self-conscious. He wouldn't want Ned to see him now. Or Emma, he sighed. Finally, he said, "One day, there was a big explosion, and the unlucky drop sister felt the jolt, like lightning. He tossed the stuffed whale up a few feet and let it fall and tumble. She was stunned," he said. "Then the doctors came to do CPR. Billy took his fist and pumped the unlucky drop sister's midsection, quietly grunting with each thrust. "Stop," said Sal, "you're hurting her." "It's okay, Gumdrop." She pulled Gumdrop to safety on her lap. "You didn't even know her name," she scolded, glaring at Billy. "Sorry," said Billy. "Papa knows all their names." Sal gathered the other drop sisters and piled them on around her. Maybe you can just tell the story and not touch them. Her arms circled them, protecting them. No more explosions. Billy wasn't good at telling stories, the way Papa was. He was better at doing things. He had a feeling that this night would be longer than he had imagined. He glanced around the room with hope that something on Sal's walls or shelves would trigger an idea. Billy noticed that Sal's eyelids were lowering again. "Hey, Sal, can I use that?" He motioned to the dingy pillowcase in which she carried the drop sisters. It was crumpled up at the foot of the bed. "What are you going to do with it?" "It's a surprise. You'll like it. Can I use it?" Sal considered Billy's question. "Remember the pearl," Billy said, even though he knew one had absolutely nothing to do with the other. "All right," said Sal. Billy took the pillowcase, filled it with clothes from Sal's dresser, and bound the open end with one of her stretchy hairbands, twisting it around and around. He'd left several inches of cloth at the end. He fanned it out. "This is the tail," he said. Then he pushed and pulled and fluffed and stuffed pillowcases until it pleased him. "There," he said, "it's a whale, a big one." "It is," said Sal. "Who is it?" "This is," Billy said, thinking fast, "this is Cough Drop. He's the drop sister's cousin. He usually lives at the aquarium, but he's here for a visit." "Cough Drop," said Sal, smiling. "I love him. Make him say something." "He doesn't talk," said Billy, "because he has a terrible cough, and he was born with it. And the only food he eats is cough drops." Sal plucked Cough Drop from Billy's hands and introduced him to his cousins. They played. Sal would make a comment as one of the drop sisters, but then Billy, assuming the role of Cough Drop, would cough in response. They took turns talking, having a conversation, until Billy had had enough. "Cough Drop needs a break," he said. Billy was exhausted and his throat was rough. He decided he would never be a babysitter, no matter how much money he could make. "Is it morning yet?" asked Sal. "No," said Billy. "I'll go check again." And then Sal said something, but she was yawning at the same time, and she'd put her hand over her mouth, so all Billy heard was a tired little noise. When he came back to Sal's room with the disappointing news that it was only 11:03, Sal was sleeping on the floor beside the drop sisters, her head on Cough Drop. Billy made very little effort to wake her. He made very little effort to do anything. He couldn't. All at once, it felt as if his pajamas were made of lead. His legs could barely hold him up, and it took everything he had in him to drag some blankets off Sal's bed, fall to the floor next to her, and cover both of them. He would give it one more try. He raised his head and opened his eyes as wide as he could. "Stay awake," he commanded himself. A swift, invisible hand pressed his head down and stitched his eyes shut. He tried to conjure up an image of the monster under his bed, but he didn't even have the energy for that. His head knocked into Sal's as he searched for some comfort on Cough Drop. Sal stirred. "Love you," she murmured. She couldn't have been talking to the drop sisters or Cough Drop or him. He didn't know. But he knew he loved her, right now, anyway, and he might have told her so, but all he could manage was to mutter, "Yeah," as he drifted off to sleep.